Anybody have any good stories this week?
You're not allowed to come on here without a good story, so make one up.
I have one. This is Cindy Pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend that's in a nursing home, and she fell on the 11th of December, and they took her to the hospital, and she fractured her clavicle. And I put one of the little power patches on it, mm-hmm. and she fell again two days ago, and had to take her back to the hospital to make sure no bones were broke. And they said they couldn't even see a break in the clavicle.
Whoa.
So that was pretty fast.
Yeah, how's she feeling?
Like somebody ran over with a Mack truck. She got her foot hung in their wheelchair, and she pulled a drawer out on top of her and kind of bruised up. But I put a wrist bracelet on the bruiser. It was on her arm, one of the key code things. And so I'm thinking maybe that will help heal those bruises up faster.
Well, terrific. I think it's fun sometimes to be able to go around and actually make a difference, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. And she has Alzheimer's, so I bought her a headband for Christmas, so I'm encouraging her to wear that some. I don't know that it will help, but I'm hoping that it will. I know it will increase the blood flow, so.
Well, we've seen a lot of interesting things happen when you put the brain in that environment.
Exactly.
Like, for example, I used to be dumb.
Well, you're sure not now. It worked. I think I better start wearing that.
Yeah. Well, let's get started. We'll fly right through this. This is Jerry White. Unfortunately, my picture is not coming across on the video for some reason. But it'll probably pop up here in a minute. It's kind of an unpredictable situation. My background, I spent some number of years as a swimmer, and so I was nice in the Olympic year. People know what that means. I was a national-level swim coach. Actually, I had 4 kids in the top 2 in the world and 45 high school and college All-Americans. I coached triathlons in the earliest days down in San Diego, spent some time with some of the legends of the sport, and then worked at the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista there a couple of times, working on different mechanics and that sort of thing. Went into sports rehab and physical therapy, and then spent another several years doing that. Was a trainer for professional hockey and ballet, and then founded and was the head of research at the Motion Analysis and Biomechanics Lab at Shriners Hospital in Spokane. Through that, got the opportunity to be the adjunct professor in biomechanics physiology at the university, and became a certified biomagnetic therapist and Nikan Diamond, Millionaires Club, President's Club, all those things. But what really became most evident out of all those things is that I was working too much. Out of control, working like a crazy maniac. And for many of you, that's probably, you know, the same to be true in your own families. Too busy, too often, no time, and how could I ever escape? I was really doing a full 40-hour clinical load in PT and 20 hours in my laboratory, teaching at the university, acting in church plays, teaching Sunday school. I had my 4th child on the way and was building a log house on weekends and evenings, and I keep threatening to put up pictures of these sorts of things. Today we had the opportunity again to go out and shovel the neighbor's roof because we have a local, had enough snow here lately that a local store with a big, giant supermarket superstore caved in. And then I heard, the brand new 24-hour fitness, their ceiling caved in on their swimming pool. So I guess it's probably a good thing to be up there shoveling snow. But I needed a way to come home. And my oldest son, his name is Benjamin, and my daughter, when she was little, she just couldn't say all that, so she called him B. And he came to me one day with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Dad, how is it that you can go down and work with them, play with other people's kids all day long, and if you ever come home, there's no time for us?" So I didn't have any answers. I couldn't figure out how to escape. I had been conditioned and taught to live in a world where I was supposed to follow
the bouncing ball and go in and punch my clock, and that was all I could really figure out to do. And then Alan Mary Andrews came into my life. He was having massive multiple seizures every day, as many as 8 or 9 a day. He had huge medication side effects. He couldn't walk more than, basically could just step from from the bed to the wheelchair. His legs were swollen to 3 times their normal size. It was a full massive reaction to his medication. And they were literally going to amputate both of his legs, but he ran out of money. Had used over $1 million in health care funds. There wasn't any more to go, so they sent him home. He ran across a guy in church, or a guy in church that wasn't even here, 120 miles away, had heard about Al's condition and drove all the way up from Pasco, Washington to Spokane and put on his bed this mattress pad. And by morning, his seizures were so dramatically modified that they decided as a household to change the direction. They didn't have much money, but they cast in whatever they could find to get Al what he needed. And lo and behold, he came walking into my clinic a couple years after I thought he died. He was walking, talking, fully, had full memory. You see, because before, if you'd ask him a question, it'd take him up to a minute to respond, and he could only respond in a couple words in a sentence. He said to me, "Coach, now I have my own business, and I'd be honored if you'd take a look at it." He says, "I'm scared to death to be talking with you, but I know that if I could just make a difference in those kids at that kids at that hospital, that I would have considered my life worthwhile." What I found was the answer to a whole lot of problems in my own family. I took the material that he was using, and I had this very interesting test, because when Al told me that he had gone 4 months without a seizure, and normally he'd have as many as 8 or 9 a day, and they were so violent that he'd actually broke his wife's cheekbone and 3 of her ribs one night while they were in bed. Well, he was so well under control, wearing these little discs on his head and sleeping in this mattress situation, that he said as long as he had them on his head, he was medication-free and seizure-free for 4 months. But if he took them off, that was it. He was going to have a seizure, and it would only be a matter of hours. Well, I didn't believe him, so I took them off of his head, and about 8 hours later, he went back into the first seizure he had in months. That prompted me to take it into my laboratory and take a look. I created a balance situation and tried to find out if the body or the nervous system could pick up a change. What we did was we had some people, and I encourage you, if you have some people at your house, to have them try this. Stand on the Nikan magnetic strips, the insoles, with their arms directly out in front, one hand on top of the other, and just choose somebody. If they came to your house, they're nice enough to do that. They probably are nice enough to volunteer. Press up on their hands to just determine how much force it takes before they really lock in and they've got a good stable position. Now have them step off, press up on their hands again, and you might notice something very interesting. Watch their toes, their abdominal strength, and their shoulders. If anyone had an experience, I would like to take a moment here and just kind of open up for questions. Is there anyone out there that has experienced this for the very first time? Well, just as most people are, you know, even if you ask me a question, I'll probably give you some kind of an answer. And what we began to find was that the balance challenge, we called this, was profound in that it allowed the body to get more information more quickly. And as a result of that information, it was able to override the input. It was able to change the response, and the response is so quick that the body was able to actually configure and say, "There's a best balance strategy. I think I'll try it." And once I began to do that, I searched through the literature, and I found that in some studies that were being done at the Neurocommunications Research Laboratory in Connecticut, They were taking people with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's, and they were doing a test on them to find out how long it would take for the brain to register a strobe light that would flash in front of the eyes. It's called an evoked potential test. And they found that once they placed a set of these magnetic pads on both sides of the skull, right on the temples, that it doubled and tripled the speed of the nerves and how fast they could send the signal. And so what we were beginning to see was that with these in the shoes, people would respond, even without knowing how, with a better, more appropriate, stronger strategy so they wouldn't fall over. I thought that was absolutely fascinating, and I was there with a couple of orthopedic residents and a biomedical engineer, and we began to start to try to imagine what on earth was this that was coming into our hands and into North America. It was bigger than anything I had ever seen, and it was only just beginning to crack the door on a concept we're going to talk tonight about called a wellness home. This is the first of the environments that gave us what we call a neurologic override. It allowed the nervous system to collect information, like I said, more efficiently, send it more quickly, and the body determined that it could become more efficient in its activity. Now, my wife, Marcia, was a world-class swimmer, national caliber anyway, and yet her shoulders were very inflexible. So I took this first environment called magnetic fields and began to test her shoulders. And you can try this in your wellness previews there as well. If you put the arms out to the side and have somebody pull back on your arms to determine how tight your shoulders are, only go so far until you get a first little bit of pressure there, and measure the distance between the shoulder or the wrist. This will give you an idea of how flexible those shoulders are, how much the body wants to allow this movement. And now take, I guess it would be a device called a power mag, run it over the top of the shoulder, and then assess the change, if any, in that distance. Well, what you're going to find is that the precursor to that device, because of the spinning magnetic field and its power in causing people to get a better input, seems to allow the body to get more relaxation and says, based on the information now that you've given me, I can move farther into the range. I found that to be fascinating and began to use it on athletes everywhere. Huge changes, and it's been really fun to do that. But then we began to start to look at it with people in general. What can we do with this thing called NECAN? Well, there are things that I couldn't do with my skills as a physical therapist. There was something missing. People still suffered. And like most people, I wanted to make a difference in the world. But could I branch out? Could I retrain when I was so busy? I needed an entirely new way to think. And then came NECAN. In 7 months of part-time work, shoved into the cracks of time in my week, I was able to leave the hospital job and go to work from home. It's been the most satisfying experience of my life. I highly recommend it to all of you, and one of the things that was most astounding was that it was introduced to me not by a scientist, it wasn't by a doctor, it wasn't by another physical therapist, but it was introduced by a guy who only had 2 years in his adult life where he could actually work. And what he did on that day was to begin the process of allowing us to have 13 years of freedom where I've been able to watch my kids grow up, to live a life where when I go to work every day, it's basically, I got to tell you, I cheat. I go down to the club. And at the club, I recruit people. And at the kids' soccer team, well, most of my kids are swimmers and actresses and singers and all that sort of stuff. And when I get a chance to be involved with all of those things, I get to meet people. And in the process of meeting people, I've had the most satisfying work of my life. You see, sick care, these are some of the mega trends that are going on in the current healthcare system. We name it sick care because really it's about treating people once they're sick, not trying to really improve their health. The cost of that system is over $2.5 trillion per year, and doubling every 5 years. In fact, the next doubling within the next 5 years, it will exceed by about $1 trillion the entire budget of the United States government plus the war. And for many people who think that your worries are over because we've just voted in a new regime in Washington, there's no possible way that they could afford to make that change. It would break the bank. In fact, if you love paying taxes, well, hold on to your hats, because if they try to take over the healthcare system, they would literally have to double your taxes, and that would only keep you going for about another 2 years, at which time the system would double, and they'd have to take everything out of your taxes just to keep it going. Well, there's a problem with that, because what we're doing is we're funding people who have allowed themselves to get sick. It's sort of like letting people build and rebuild and rebuild their houses in the floodplain of the Mississippi River and wondering how come it keeps flooding all the time. What we really need to do is to look at a prevention model. This is a quote in Pharmacy Today magazine that said, if you think this current $700 billion financial bailout is troubling, you haven't seen anything yet. It's just a warm-up act to what we face if Washington doesn't come to terms with Medicare's looming bankruptcy by 2019. Well, how could they possibly change anything? In fact, the current level of thinking, and what Einstein said was, you can't solve the problem with the same level of thinking that caused the problem. So why are we so sick? We lead the world in every degenerative disease, every single degenerative disease, heart attack, cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity, all of them, we lead the world. We are the best in the world. 65.2% of the U.S. Adults are overweight, and 30.5% are obese. That's from Obesity in America. Asthma and autoimmune diseases are an epidemic proportion, with 44,000 new cases of type 2 diabetes per month. Prevalence of diabetes in the United States is 23.6 million people, or 7.8% of the population, having diabetes in 2007. We're now at the end of 2008, so you can take 44,000 times 12, and that's how many more have ended up with diabetes. Some people just don't realize it, but when it comes to the environments that we live in, one of those environments is the food we take into our bodies. And in 1900, one person would consume about an average of 3.5 pounds of sugar over the course of a year. Is it any wonder that the pancreas has a hard time making enough insulin for sugar when today the average person consumes 415 pounds of sugar a year? The causes of a lot of this problem: lifestyle, stress, and environment. See, the most common killers in 1900 were pneumonia, influenza, tuberculosis, and diarrhea. These were things that were caused by invading microbes. So they came up with drugs. Drugs were a marvelous way to take a look at knocking these things out of the ballpark. They worked so well that 100 years later, we take a look at the killers in America. They're all called diseases of affluence. This means only rich people get them. Heart attack, cancer, stroke. Well, this one, an interesting one. Prescription drugs and mistakes, and diabetes, followed immediately by obesity. You see, in 1900, all of those were bugs, and the drugs killed the bugs. But what are we going to do today when these are lifestyle, stress, and environment problems? Well, let's take a look at a couple of those environments in our lives. We have environmental problems. 1 billion, with a B, plastic bottles were hitting the landfills per year in California alone, according to LA Times. The drugs in the drinking water, a vast array of pharmaceuticals, including antibiotics, anticonvulsants, and mood stabilizers and sex hormones, have been found in the drinking water supplies of at least 41 million Americans. That was in the Associated Press. Bottled water costs 240 to 10,000 times more than tap water, and that's from the San Francisco Chronicle. 40% of bottled water should be labeled bottled tap water because it's exactly what it is. So what is the problem with water? Why is it environmentally difficult? Why are so many people beginning to be aware of these problems? It's more than just what's in the news. It's intuitive. We understand it to be true in ourselves. Another startling statistic that was produced by Dr. Michio Kushi, father of macrobiotics. This guy has so many profound statements and inventions and concepts on health that an entire wing of the Smithsonian Institute is devoted just to him. And what he said was that in 1900, we had 1 out of 28 autopsies showed cancer in the body. Notice what happened 50 years later in 1950. It went to 1 out of 12. So we must be getting better now because of all of the clean houses and all of the different things that we're dealing with. We must be improving on that 1 out of 12. Well, the reality is in 2000, it was 1 out of 2. And this, they say, will continue until basically 1 out of 1 is very clearly on the horizon. So we go back and say, what are these things called autoimmune diseases? Where do they come from? These are the other killers and the other ones that make us miserable and sick. They're lifestyle and stress problems. And this is a little slide from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. It talks about one, which is asthma. And asthma accounts for 14 million lost days of school missed annually. Asthma is the third ranking cause of hospitalization among those younger than 15 years of age, and the number of children dying from asthma increased almost threefold from 1979 to 1996. What if we could find a way for kids to breathe easier with a simple change of their environment? Here's some other common autoimmune diseases: type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, thyroid disease, Graves' disease, lupus, MS, Crohn's, psoriasis, Addison's disease, pernicious anemia. Have you heard of some of these? You have some of these. Would it be startling to you to realize that things like fibromyalgia and irritable bowel syndrome and all these others are really just your body's misrecognizing its own signals and actually beginning to attack its own tissues because it recognizes the body as the enemy? Well, we have home environmental problems, and one of the biggest ones is indoor air quality. 94% of all respiratory ailments are caused by polluted air, according to the American Medical Association, which also reported that one-third of our national health bill is for causes directly attributable to indoor air pollution. Sleep problems. You know, if you lose 3 hours of sleep in one night, and you lose up to 60% of your immune system for 2 days. Here's another one I'll just throw in there, is that in Japan, they don't have a diagnosis called fibromyalgia. You might know some people who have that. They call it magnetic field deficiency syndrome. Did you also know that probably 90% of all ADD and ADHD is a sleep disorder? Well, what if we could come up with an environment that could change people's sleep ability? Another one is you literally cannot lose weight if you're not sleeping deep. And according to Time Magazine, it tells us that 70% of the American population cannot sleep deep and is chronically sleep deprived. So sleep is a big problem. Water quality problems, you already mentioned. Stress, out of this world right now. Drug reactions, a huge problem. We have deficient nutrition. In 1948, in a congressional hearing, there was a presentation that said that the actual nutrient base in the soils that were used for American farmland in 1948, 94% of the nutrients were already leached out of those soils. What has it done today? And what happens in nutrition if we begin to start to consume the food that was picked 2 weeks before the enzymes, critical enzymes and vitamins and proteins were developed within the fruit in the ripening process? We're going to have to come up with new ways to approach that. And then we discovered a whole series of undiscovered environmental problems. There are new environments, not really necessarily new, they've always been around, but if we goof with them, we can be in trouble. What if there are environments we never thought to monitor and we found out that they were critical to a thriving, healthy life? There are magnetic fields and infrared light, negative ions and harmonic resonance and nutrition and water. What if we found a non-invasive, incredibly inexpensive, nearly passive way to bring them to people, and we were able to partner with the company that owns all the patent rights to these technologies? And what if that company was one of the largest corporations in Japan? I like what my friend Dave Johnson says. He says, how many multi-billion dollar Japanese corporations have ever come to North America and then failed? Makes you kind of think. And here comes the largest provider of healthcare technology in the country of Japan, moving into the American marketplace in a panic-stricken marketplace with the largest industry in the history of the world, which is the American sick care system. And their purpose over the next several years is to do to health what Toyota did to cars. And they have a 200-year game plan to change the way we think about who we are and how our health works. So that company is called Nikan. We're going to be taking a look at how Nikan proposes to balance our lives so that we can spend 20% of our time in each of these categories, healthy mind, family, society, finances, and body. We do know that the center of all of this is your spiritual life. It's the most important thing in today, tomorrow, and eternity. You need to take care of that spiritual life, and as you do it, you also have to take care of the vessel that you live in every day. And if we can really balance our lives, this one probably captured me as much as anything, was to take a look at putting an equal amount, or 20%, in each of these areas. I could have an astoundingly less stressed life and be much more able to give to my family in ways that I want to do, or into the society or community in ways that really matter to me. I highly recommend it. What if you could be doing this kind of thing and it became the way you got so efficient at the financial segment with a marketplace that's exploding and ready for this stuff, that literally you could go from where most people are at 80% of their time spent with the pursuit of money or worrying about money. I think if you think of most people, they're going to be spending 80% of their time here in this category. How do we change that? And what did I do as a physical therapist is I was providing people, let's say they came in with a neck problem, and what if that was a stress-related problem? You see, 85% of everything I saw in the clinic, we determined it was being stress-related. And if we could then, rather than charging people to come in for 6 weeks, three times a week, and work on their stress, but then send them back out into the very same environment that caused them to have that stress in the first place, I was basically stealing from people, and it was tearing me apart internally, because what I was doing wasn't making the difference that I wanted for many of those people. So what could I do? Where could I turn? Well, that's where Nikan came in with this fascinating new concept. We're going to try to create health and compare that with the drug and surgery industry. The drug and surgery industry is going to change and change dramatically. It will be the largest shift of dollars in the history of the world. And it's going to shift from a baby boom generation to a younger generation, or a group of people who are going to be aware of where that's going to be moving. Well, let's take a look. I'm going to just make a guess. As a group of people, I would bet that we'd be healthier if we were to fill in this pyramid than if we were to do more drugs and more surgery. So let's take a look. What if we could get people to go into deep sleep on a regular basis, improve their environmental air and water quality, improve their nutrition dramatically, increase their energy, decrease their stress, and put them on a fitness program? Well, let's just take a moment to think about that. Do all of those things across the board in America, would we have a better chance of improving health than adding more drugs and surgery. But if you look at all of the arguments that are working for tomorrow's healthcare system, they're all about drugs and surgery. It is not about affecting the cause. But you see, America is now becoming aware of what's causing all these things, and maybe we can make a change, because you see, no one in America will do any of these things unless they have lots and lots of money, or perceive that the money is done. Because what we've got ourselves into is a cycle of believing that in the first half of your life, you're supposed to spend all your health to gain wealth. So in the second half, you can spend all your wealth to regain your health. So how can we set up a system? And this is, I think, is the number one most fascinating piece of bringing health to America, was to tie an economic return to the average person. If they could do that, and they could see that these other areas of environments they could change with fascinating, life-changing, cutting-edge technologies, that those two things would go hand in hand. Because I'm going to show you that this word job over here is the most important person in an American person's life today, the most important word and most important thing in their life today. It's even more important to them than their health. Because have you ever seen anybody give up sleep for their job? How about being in a compromised water and air environment? Remember what we were saying before? The American Medical Association said that the number one, the one-third of all the healthcare dollars in America is spent on poor indoor air quality problems. What about water? How about nutrition? I mean, you can see that all over the street. You know that about yourself. Just try eating some of the things that we eat as a standard American diet. See how well you feel. See how well you look. We also know that people are in too stressed an environment because of their job, and they've given up fitness because of their job. So everyone is compromising all of these areas because of that job. And the reason? The job is too inefficient to create the income, and so around they go. So now the fascination for me comes with a company that's going to be able to put the two pieces together and answer the question. So why don't people do healthy? Well, they don't have a habit. They have prioritized it about being frantic and reacting to things. They have conditioned themselves. They've been sold on the instant gratification, unhealthy, and all that sort of stuff. And they've been told that you're just getting older and you have to deal with it. Well, all of those, have you ever heard somebody say that their joints just wore out? Well, guess what? There's people out there running marathons at 80 years old. Why didn't their joints wear out? Is it just because they're pounding every day? No, it's in fact because of the acids in their system in poor health environments. And then I want to show you something that I found to be absolutely fascinating. Let's take that pyramid and imagine if we were going to really create this incredibly healthy environment, and we thought about each one of those pieces individually, sleep, water, air, nutrition, energy, and fitness, and we thought, wow, what a great life we could lead if we were just healthy and stress-free, if we had a purpose and we were working together as a group of people. That would be amazing. But this I found to be astounding. It was really a study done by Dr. Pedersen at the National Institutes of Health, and found that if they gave mice a fatal virus, and half of them were exercised, and half were on a strong nutritional supplementation program, it increased their survivability, in this case with the exercise group, 15 to 18%. And for the nutritional supplement group, it was an increase of 15%. And that was pretty good results. But here's where the astounding part came. When they put the two of those together, it improved 255%. Now, what's going to happen with all these other environments? You'll see people running around the country right now telling you that they're a wellness company, and what they're going to provide for you is some jug of juice or some miracle drink or some pill or maybe even some good solid nutrition. But try taking the most perfect nutrition of all time and then don't sleep for 8 days and tell me how well you do. or duct tape yourself to a chair and never get up and move or get any exercise, or be under an incredibly stressed environment. I'll tell you what, I'll challenge you. Go and watch TV or evening news or the internet news 24, every waking hour, and tell me how good you feel. You see, there are other aspects to thriving in life. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a group of people that use simple technologies that even busy, frantic people can use with very little changes in their lives. And this actually changes these environments that we found to be incredibly important. Magnetic field environments, reflected light waves. We have a light wave reflector that's made from a ceramic field that you can put on as a fabric. It's just, you can make it into all kinds of different fabrics. And literally, try it sometime. Take a little piece of this cloth, put it underneath your chin, and taste a lemon. What you'll find is it tastes remarkably like a lemon. Now, 4 out of 5 people on this next step are going to have a profound result. Take that cloth away from your chin. It goes underneath your palate, they're underneath your chin. Take it away, and then taste that lemon again. And there's a dramatic difference. It just tends to be one that you could be, a fun one that you could do in your houses there. What it's actually doing is modifying how the oxidizers or acids work within the body system. When we make comforters now that you can have 2 people sleeping under, one hot and one cold, it literally warm the cold person and cool the hot person at the same time. Some of the most amazing environmental changes, and it's very simple to use. We attach these to the development of personal wellness and give people a cause. What we're about to do is to see this gigantic shift through a group of people who have huge hearts. And that's exactly what we're inviting you to consider being a part of, is partnering with us to bring this to America. We attach this to this cause, and then it ties all of this back to economic efficiency and abundance. You see, because we're using a networking model, and in it, we're actually literally copying what they use for nuclear explosions. In a nuclear explosion, for example, what you do is you split an atom. And when you split the atom, it's got so much force left over from the explosion of that nucleus that it sends particles out into the air. And those particles will split other atoms. Let's say, just in this case, a simple case scenario of 2. When those 2 are hit, they split. And when those 2 are hit, they split. And in that simple modification, in nanoseconds, you literally now have ruined hundreds of miles of the Earth's surface and just blown everything up because you're splitting these. Well, we're going to do this from a positive side, not blowing things up, but trying to affect as many people in the world as we can using this fascinating model called geometric progression, giving everybody a chance to be who you are, bring your stories to the table to make a huge difference, and in the process, build an economic steam engine that can provide you and your family a return on investment that's outstanding. In fact, like for my life, was able to actually come home and leave working full-time within 7 months. And we want to pursue this life balance in 5 pillars of health. Well, so here's our solution. It's called the Wellness Home Environment. If people could lay down, sit down, walk around, breathe air, drink water, and eat, and that's all they needed to do, and we want to provide economic stability and opportunity that make the biggest difference in your lifetime. Our goal is to create the backup system for the American sick care system, one that's dramatically less expensive and leverages individuals who, by improving themselves, sharing the qualities of life, and the adventure and profit of entrepreneurship, will save trillions of dollars and countless lives with a philosophy of balance in all 5 pillars of health. So here's how we want to get the word out. We want to leverage your time. Any time that you have left over, you notice when I first had started, I had no time at all. The only thing I had was little 10, 15-minute segments throughout the day. But I took those 10 to 15-minute segments and introduced people to this new concept of balance in their lives. They tried technology. They started to tell stories, and we were growing all over the United States. People began to have a passion for making a difference in people's lives. They weren't just doing this because they wanted to make money. They were doing it because they loved it. And you just can't make them quit. It was absolutely amazing. We gained knowledge, and then together as a group of people, we're out creating new frontiers, cutting-edge technologies, being a part of bringing in new ways to get this to the American population. If you've got one shred of pioneer spirit, one shred of being someone who could be in the next generation of where America's going instead of where it's been, and you want to be a part of providing people, as many as want to, a chance to be economically, financially, and time-wise free, this is what we're proposing. We'd love to have you consider being a partner with us. Get with the people that brought you and answer the question that I usually like to have you ask or answer one of these three. Number one, this just isn't for me. And that would be just grand. That's okay. We know that there's people that have to do all the crummy jobs out in the world, and we salute you. Number two would be, you know, I really need to look further into these technologies, and we're going to take the next few minutes to go through a couple of examples of people who may be hurting right there in your living room and trying some things and see if we can have those very quick responses that we'll often see. Number three, I really see that this could be something that I want to take a look at farther. Now, there are three steps that we like to take you through in becoming fully aware. I've tried to give you an impression that the technologies that we're bringing into North America are going to be fabulously successful. Well, they already have been. Within 8 years, it went from zero to $650 million in business a year in the North American continent alone. And even with that $650 million, less than 2 out of 1,000 people have ever heard of it in North America. This is our chance. This is the first time that many of us, and the last time that many of us, will have a chance to be a part of the coming explosion in this new mega trend. We invite you to be a part of that, and I thank you for being here tonight. I will be starting this up on a Thursday night as well. Thursday night is my typical night, so watch for this to be 7:30 from this point forward, your time in Central Time. Out here on the West Coast, I'll be doing one 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, which would be 9:30 your time on Tuesday. Just watch our calendars and keep track of that. Another piece that I will be moving back into, and we'll have to just decide on a day and time for that, is educational pieces on each one of the technology areas, on sleep, water, air, nutrition, energy, fitness, all the different types of products and technologies that we can use in those, but one night, one segment, so we can really get in depth with those. And to really give you my job as a diamond in the can, as a part of this team with Mike DiMuccio, Terry Latham, some of the people up in Canada, is we're taking this to the next frontier. My job is to be helping us to see the validation of the product technologies. And so for the next few minutes, I'm going to open up for free questions. People who may have a question about some of the technologies, how might you use them, some ideas that you've had, some suggestions, that sort of thing. So here's the open mic. Who's got a question? Better come up with a question, because I'll make up something here pretty quick.
Okay. Is this going to be recorded and we can see it somewhere, like on the Crowfoot site or something?
You will be able, eventually. I have a number of switches that I'm going to be making in this where I've got to try to figure out how to transfer some photographs, because the next step is going to say, watch what happens when we change from this environment to that environment for people who've got some very, very serious problems. I think those photographs are going to be very compelling. We're going to be adding a section that will allow us to take a look at what can you do for your health for $1 a day. How much would it cost to change some of the things that we're doing in our lives? And then what are going to be some of the returns on investment? So a lot to cover in a short period of time. We're going to keep working on that. But we will continue to do this until we get it right. You know, you just get better and better. I would suspect within the next 2 or 3 weeks we'll probably be able to record one and have that that people can pull up.
Okay. Thank you.
The audio tonight.
Well, what about, oh, it's recorded on audio. Okay, what was the next question?
I was going to ask you where you post your schedule.
One of the places, that's a really good question. I'd like to have all of you become aware of what's called OnStar. Now, this is a part of the Wellness Network, and I'm going to go ahead and type that out on the screen here for you. Because it's going to be your place to check for ongoing activities, and it's called thewellnessnetwork.com. It takes a second for it to show up. You all see it there probably.
It's up.
And then you're going to go to OnStar and webcast, and then you go to meeting room, and then you'll go to, you'll see a whole bunch of diamonds and round diamonds there that will be doing various segments of all of this, and there are four particular areas that we're going to be working to try to give people validation in. The last one is go to Jerry White, and you can see my schedule for what I'll be doing in these webcasts. Let me just take you on a quick journey since no one has any questions. Go ahead and ask a question while I'm setting this up if you do have one, because I'm going to go to my WTS folder and see if I can find something for you here. Because the other format that I'll be using will be this. Well, I'll pull up these very well done PowerPoints and go through the single product technologies, and we'll cycle back through them. There's probably going to be 12 of them, so it'll be 12 weeks in a row, and then we'll cycle through. Come on, little system, you can do this. I know you can. Through a series of discussions with fancy pictures. That's a big enhancement over just listening to me talk, huh?
No, you're interesting, Jerry.
So does anybody have a question about maybe some of the applications of NECAM products to a specific area? And then we'll close her down for tonight. And I'm just kind of doing some training here and just answering questions, so.
Jerry, if somebody has rheumatoid arthritis real bad and you wanted to suggest a regimen to start on the joint, what would you suggest?
Well, that's a great question because whenever we say a diagnosis, there's a couple things we want to become aware of. We're, in an open forum here, and we're not to be using diagnoses or talking about diagnoses. So let's take a look at it from what I would do as a clinical physical therapist anyway. There's over 150 varieties of arthritis, and most people don't know that. Rheumatoid is the second most common and difficult to diagnose. According to the American Medical Association, in their own journal, the Journal of the American Medical Association, they state that 40% of all diagnoses in the United States are wrong. Now, there's also some interesting things. Does anybody know what the common manifestations of this thing called rheumatoid arthritis are? Well, there's severe joint stiffness. There's a very rigid body, very difficult to move through range of motion, and a characteristic swollen set of joints. They become red, inflamed, swollen, and it's usually pretty much all over the whole body. The one in the hands is the most visible at first, where the fingers begin to deform and pull to the side. The knuckles, where the finger attaches to the hand, become very, very large. You'll start to see calcific nodules developing underneath the skin and those sorts of things. Well, all that sort of stuff is sort of scientifically intriguing. The big deal to the person you're dealing with is, I feel stiff like crazy. I hurt worse than you could ever imagine. My joints seem to be falling apart, deteriorating, becoming all kinds of problems. What do I do? Well, what we can do is we can deal with that. What we would say is that let's take a simple approach. Number one, if you're going to want to be aware of how other people with those kinds of problems have fared, you could listen or get the resource CD and read about people's personal testimonies. What did they use and how did it result? When you make a statement of using the biodirected joint material, let's take a logic process through this. Biodirected joint is a complex of seven fatty acids called acetylated myristoliates. Now it turns out that these fatty acids are a result, or they are manufactured in a mouse. A white mouse makes these, but other mammals don't. And white mouse is essentially immune to arthritis. Kind of odd, isn't it? So when we began to find that these fatty acids, which are basically a food, were supplied orally to other mammals, people particularly, it kind of works like, as we can imagine, WD-40 for the joints and the muscle sheaths. It also seems to have an anti-inflammatory response to make some of the swelling and irritation go down. When you look at probably one of the more dramatic cases is she lives in Katy, Texas. It's
Gary Roundy.
Gary Roundy. And she started out with 16 capsules a day, but realized that she was so bad by the time she was 22, she would break her foot putting on a wedding shoe and couldn't walk from a wheelchair to the bathroom without breaking her hips and her pelvis and her low back. All of that was a result of the very heavy doses of methotrexate, which is an anti, is a chemotherapy drug that had eaten up her bone density. So she had all those problems, plus all of the joint problems that were associated with her disease. And she found that she was up dancing and running around and carrying kids 6 months later, or I think that's what it was. So that sounds logical to me. One of the fun things about this particular material that you can take orally is the more you take it, the less you need it. So you'd start backing down fairly quickly. I would say, you know, start with maybe six a day if somebody's. But if they're profoundly, profoundly involved, you may go more. So it won't hurt you, it's just food. Hope that was helpful.
Thanks, Jerry.
Jerry. Also take a look at movement patterns. Test how far they can move their neck and shoulders, how much can they move their joints, and then use your necklace, then use your biaxial power mag, because usually within seconds they'll be able to tell you a difference. And one of the areas that lupus and this particular area of fibromyalgia for certain, but also rheumatoid people who carry those things around with them as a diagnosis, oftentimes have very, very satisfying results in seconds on the infrared. Now, we're not supposed to claim that it'll diagnose or treat anything, but when you take a person that is trying to do a squat and they can only squat 20 degrees and it hurts, and you slip something over their leg and now they can squat 40 or 50 or 60, you let them make a determination whether they made a difference or not. Okay, one thing that I just got a notice for, any other questions out there while I'm typing this in?
You had, excuse me, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, on the cryo-directed joint, you know, with older people that are already on other medications, is there any concern?
Remember that this is not a medication, it's food. So if they're not allowed to eat any food for the rest of their life because they're on medications, then take them off of this and let them die in a week. That was facetious.
Well, I know. Thanks.
Really, just that's what's really fun about some of the new Ken things. And one of the things I like to point out is that there's this very, very interesting piece in physical therapy that I figured out one time. And that was what's called, what I call a normalization phenomenon. And that's really cool. Let me do this one thing just because I'm trying to do two things at once. So later tonight, Steve Crowfoot has put this on the internet, or he will put the audio of tonight's session on this website. You all can see that? And that later tonight is not part of the website. But this normalization phenomenon, it goes in many, many, many different ways, and I noticed it first on the magnetics. What it is, what it means is that if I was a clinical physical therapist, what do you suppose could happen if I left a heat pack on somebody too long and couldn't feel anything? Come on, help me out. Heat pack, one spot, doesn't move. What's going to happen?
It's going to move.
If someone doesn't feel anything, I put this hot pack on them for a long period of time, what could potentially happen as a negative side effect?
They get burned.
There you go. Awesome. How about if I put an ice pack on somebody and I left it there for too long, what could happen?
They're going to freeze.
Exactly. And are those side effects that we don't want?
Correct.
So just about anything anybody can do to you, let's say you were going to get a chiropractic adjustment and it got with maybe just not a well-trained practitioner or some friend that was down the street that was trying to do an adjustment, what could happen?
Problems.
Yeah. So they all could have negative side effects, and that's why people worry so much. So one of the things that I found was absolutely fascinating about some of these environmental conditions was that you could get this normalization phenomenon. Here's an example of one way we used to do that. If we took mag steps and put them on the floor, the first thing we did is to assess a person's ability to rotate in a circle. they put your arm straight up beside you, look down your fingers if you're pointing at something, and then you turn as far as you can to the side, and then point a note that you're pointing at on the wall. Then you put, without moving your feet, just lift them up, put a mag step underneath one, each one of those feet. Try that rotation again and see what changes you get. You know, at first we used to use that as a demonstration because golfers and a lot of people would see that, boy, I can go a lot farther, even just a little farther, and that would really help my golf swing if I'm on those things. And then you take them off, out from under their feet, try it again, they don't go as far, and then you put them under the feet and they go farther again. So they thought, boy, that was really a trick deal. Well, I began to find that some people didn't change. And what we came up with as an idea was that they didn't change because they were getting the limit of their ligaments. And so that didn't make sense. I mean, they weren't tight. That just wasn't one of their problems. And so that was a second option we could see when we were doing the test. Then I ran into a lady who was really fascinating. She had what's called limb girdle muscular dystrophy, and that meant that the muscles in her shoulders and her limbs and her trunk were, and her hips were deteriorating slowly over time as an adult. She was a nurse, but she couldn't walk very far, maybe half an hour during the day, and then her hips would just ache so badly she had to be in a wheelchair the rest of the day. The reason was there was no support from the muscle structure around, it was just kind of banging around. Well, this lady, I put her, tested her on this rotation, put her feet on the ground, looking down her arm, turned as far as she could turn. It was like an owl's head. She could turn and turn and turn and turn and turn because there was no support in those muscles. Put on the mag step, she turned 60 degrees and stopped dead stop. So there was a third option. And it appeared that the same stimulus under both feet caused the body to come back to normal. A person who was too loose and too lax and didn't have enough muscle control got more muscle control and only went so far and had that good balance. The other person who was too tight, it would loosen them up. And the person in the middle, they weren't too tight, but they got to the end of their ligaments. That was the third option. That's a fascinating phenomenon because it knows, just like when we were talking about cerebellar ciliates, what Mika has been able to do is to stay in the realm of things pretty much that aren't going to hurt you because they seem to allow the body to hear itself more clearly and allow itself to make better decisions about what it needs to do to fix itself. Fascinating stuff, don't you think?
Yes.
All right, thank you all for taking the time to be in my living room tonight. Appreciate every one of you. I'll try to get my video working next week. God bless you all. We'll see you Thursday next week. And check out this OnStar Wellness Network. Here's the other thing. If you're considering becoming a NECAN representative with us, what I would recommend that you do is to take a look at validating the products through this kind of a format. Use them yourself, get some, try some, do the deal. But then also take a look at how we make money. On Saturday mornings, there's going to be a segment that goes through a series of PowerPoints with incredible gold distributors that really have got it down on how to make money. I think you're really going to like that. Or you can get Royal Ambassador Dennis Williams and watch his presentation on this. You'll see him on that OnStar webcast as well. And his is called Show Me the Money. That gives you two legs of the stool to evaluate this NECAN thing. And the third one is look at the company and the vision of it. And you can see on those webcasts, maybe Kathy and Bernie Dolman or Terry Latham, you'll see some people doing presentations. And when you get that, all three phases, hopefully it'll give you a real good overview, and we would love to invite you to be a part of this. In fact, that's the IQ test. If you decide to join us, we figure you passed.
Thanks.
Thanks, God
Jerry.
Bless y'all.
Happy New Year, Jerry.
Thank you.
It is, too. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.